Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
And so it's at this time of year that I'm reminded of the special status of the Earth, its uniqueness among all these billions of worlds. Because you see, it was the Earth where God sent His only Son to die for our sins. And that is wonderful indeed. Back in 1969, man walked on the moon. And that was an amazing feat. But what's even more amazing is that 2,000 years ago, God walked on the Earth.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What you are about to hear can be used as a weapon or as medicine. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you spend a fair amount of time chatting about leadership at church. Perhaps you have fallen into a ditch of being rather critical of those in charge, and you might be inclined to hear this treatise on 6 signs of disease leadership and use it to blast away. Might I encourage you to not do that? Instead, let's receive some insight into signs that could indicate our pastor or our elders are struggling spiritually and they need our help. Do not use these as a cudgel. Use them to come alongside your leaders and walk with them and help them. The stronger they are, the stronger you will be. With that caveat aside, let's tackle 6 signs of disease leadership by one Anthony Kidd, K-I-D-D. Paul, I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. In other words, one of the greatest threats to the church can come from inside of the church, in your ranks. And we would do well to be aware of the signs that maybe a leader, a pastor, an elder is slip-sliding away into wolf territory so that we can help, not simply critique, not hack away, perhaps more than we already do, but to treat him like a believer who might be in danger. Sign number 1. P-R-I-D-E, and I'm not talking about anything that has a rainbow attached to it. I'm talking about vanity, believing your own press, maybe drinking your own Kool-Aid, thinking, I'm the leader of this church. Uh-oh, that's a problem. Please note, your pastor, if he's a good man, he struggles with finding this balance. He wants to be strong for you, but he also wants to be humble. He also doesn't want to be overbearing. It's not an easy balance. So cut him some slack to a degree, but maybe if you are seeing in your pastor, oof, it's kind of thick every time. What could you do to help him? And by the way, pastor, if you're listening, these are tests that you should be taking. Is it possible this is happening to you, that you maybe are experiencing spiritual decay, which actually leads us to sign number 2, that there is diseased leadership, negligence. The pastor isn't feeding himself first. He's neglecting his own walk. This is a very easy thing to do because you're touching spiritual things all day. That it's the air that a pastor breathes. He's always thinking religion, checking his Bible, praying with or for people, and he might think that he's got it pretty much taken care of when it comes to the nourishment of his own soul, but he's not doing private Bible reading. Perhaps prayer life has become perfunctory. Those are signs, pastor, you're in danger. Maybe you could ask your pastor how he's doing in his personal walk. I don't think this type of thing is like right after the church service, you make a beeline to talk to the fellow. Hey, how many times are you reading your Bible every day? How many minutes are you praying? Now, that's not the context. But if you care about your pastor and the health of the local church and the health of your own soul, spend some time with the fellow and encourage him to do that. not because you're being critical and not because he has a sense, oh, you're going to go tattle and spread gossip that I only pray for 8 minutes a day. Don't be that guy or gal. Be one who helps your pastor, because in his role, he can neglect his own walk. And that puts everybody in a bad place. He becomes then an easy target to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. And you will reap the rotten fruit of your pastor's withering soul. By the way, I might encourage you further to remind you that you are a member of a church, which means you're born again, which means you are a royal priest, which means you hold the keys of the kingdom. What power comes with holding those keys? More than maybe you think, especially if you're perhaps in an elder-led or an elder-ruled church, you can perhaps think, well, they kind of handle everything. Well, yeah, your elders do handle a lot of stuff, but that doesn't mean you have no role to play in defending the truth. That's what the keys of the kingdom are all about. Purity of doctrine, the purity of believers, that somebody isn't astray and sitting at the local tavern blaspheming God and besmirching your local church. You have the authority to be involved in those things. And if you see your pastor straying or his walk being neglected, I would say to you, it's even your duty to help the man. Number three, compromise. From the article, whether it is sexual immorality, financial impropriety, or another lapse of integrity, patterns of cutting moral corners can cause enormous damage to a pastor's own spiritual life and infect the influence he wields on the congregation. Pastor, may I ask you, how are you doing alone? Whether you're in a crowd of people and it's just your thoughts, you're alone, the family's out of the house, you're by yourself, you're in your church, you're by yourself, you're in front of your computer, you're by yourself. How are you doing? Are you compromising? Have you perhaps gotten a little flabby? Are you not flexing your defense muscles to be in spiritual warfare and win the battle as regularly as you once did? Sin is so deceitful. Did we not learn that this year? Did we not see that? That men who are godly, they preach great sermons. What? They're what? How did that happen? And the answer is incrementalism. It does not happen in a day. It is chip, chip, chip. And you can hardly discern when it is happening. Might I encourage you to actually get alone and consider how it is that you're doing in your walk? How are you doing? And you can ask your pastor how he is doing. This is why I think, too, a pastor should have some buddies. Yep, his wife should be chief confider. But I think it's good for men to have male friends. I think it's good for women to have female friends. In fact, Greg Gifford's podcast 2 weeks ago, Jimmy, something like that, was talking about the importance of friends. You will not grow as spiritually strong as you could without good friends. And he's so helpful. You've got to invest time. And you've got to reciprocate. If you want to have friends, if you want to have friends, be a friend. I think that's basically what he was saying, just not as gloppily. That's right, gloppily. Would you do a little inventory to see, Pastor, how you're doing in your integrity walk, and maybe start confiding in some friends that you need some help? Number four, control. A disease leader is hyper-controlling the church, micromanaging, making decisions without collaboration, doesn't listen to differing perspectives, or even manipulating or threatening others with church discipline to get them to do his will. That's a pastor that's in big trouble. Pastor, how you doing? Number five sign of diseased leadership, jealousy. It can be of other pastors. It can be of other churches. How many people do they have? They started their church 3 years after ours, and their church is bigger. It's a temptation, and it's one that must be resisted. And if it's not, Pastor, It's growing inside of you. Maybe you go to the mega conferences and you see the evangelical big boys. Why aren't I up there? Why am I? You know what? There's a reason you're not up there. God doesn't want you there. I can't tell you the reason, but he doesn't want you up there. It might be the worst thing in the world for you. You might have all the skills to match those guys, but it could be so bad for you. You don't know, but you're not there because he doesn't want you there. And it could be, Pastor, that you're not there because you're just not at that level. And that's okay. Be content with your local church, the sheep that the Good Shepherd has given to you. And finally, sign number 6 of potential disease leadership, burning out. That you are frying it. You're burning the candle at both ends. You got nothing in the tank. It is compromising your compassion. It is compromising the enthusiasm that you minister to people. The vitality of the pastor is closely tied to the health of his congregation. The loss of pastoral joy and energy can create an environment devoid of the life-giving presence of Christ. So, Pastor, if you're frying it, you're putting your congregation in danger. Congregation, if your pastor's working constantly, he looks exhausted with the bags under his eyes, you aren't doing yourself any favor by letting him burn out. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching. It literally doubles in impact. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here, we're growing. Visit fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. From now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75. Just visit fortisinstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. fortisinstitute.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? There is someone out there who wants to match your generosity dollar for dollar. Fortis Institute has received a $500,000 matching grant. That means every gift you give between now and December the 31st, it gets doubled. Let me break it down for you. If you give $75, it becomes $150. You send $300, it turns to $600. Just visit fortisinstitute.org and watch your gift do double duty, because in a world where everything seems to cost twice as much, isn't it nice to have something worth twice as much instead?
Important dates in Christian history. 1854. Charles Haddon Spurgeon becomes pastor in London and will go on to become one of the most influential pastors ever. He was the central figure in defending the gospel against compromise during the downgrade controversy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
But enough about your pastor. Let's talk about you. This is Wretched Radio. Tim Challies. He's a Canadian blogger and a sweetbread. By the way, Jimmy, I saw it's the Christmas bread with fruit in it. It's challah bread. It's that sweet bread. I think it's a Jewish style of bread. And they put Christmas fruit in it. So it's sort of like bread fruit cake is what it is. Oh, speaking of which, pumpkin loaf. I think that I've discovered something. My love language is pumpkin loaf. That's right. Not many people have that for their love language. But I'm telling you, Vicky at church made a pumpkin loaf, dropped it at our front door. Oh, man, with Irish butter. So Gary Chapman, you need to add a sixth love language. It's not service. It's not touch. Not compliments. Pumpkin loaf.
It's not even food. It's just specifically.
Pumpkin muffins. Not pumpkin spice lattes. That's just too much pumpkin. Too much nutmeg. Just a good old classic muffin or pumpkin loaf. In heaven, you're going to be eating lots of it. So you might want to start trying it and liking it. Now, Tim Challies, writing a series of short thoughts on the local church, some of these might tag you. Some of these sting a little bit. This one is pithy. And I wonder if you and I have ever pondered this. I don't think I have quite this succinctly. And this is going to be a little bit convicting, I think. One of the best compliments that can be paid to a Christian is, you're thinking, oh, you're growing so much. Oh, your knowledge of the scriptures. Oh, the way you treat your spouse and children. Hey, look, all good things. But has anybody ever said to you, you're a good churchman? That is a fine compliment. You're one who is dedicated to the local church. You're one who serves here. You're always Johnny on the spot or Janie on the spot if you still think there's genders. Are you a good church person? That's convicting. Jimmy, you ever been paid that compliment?
Never been accused of it.
You know what? I can think of, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm thinking of some people at church. Mm-hmm. It's like they're the faithful ones. Right. They are the ones, they just do it. If you're one of those people, can I just perhaps encourage you in knowing that you encourage your pastor when he sees you just doing it and perhaps doing the stuff that isn't the glamour stuff, it encourages him. It really does. So know that you're bearing that kind of fruit to boot. You're encouraging your pastor. Challies, you're a contributor to your church's strengths and weaknesses. Say it isn't so. Hall of Notes, your giftedness makes your church stronger and your sins and weaknesses make it weaker. Whenever you're tempted to grumble about your church, you need to remember that even if you can be a part of a solution, you're also a part of the problem. In other words, be humble. We tend to think everybody else causes issues. That has to be true of us too, doesn't it? That we do things that maybe aren't forwarding the progress and the health of our local church. It is no cliche that Sunday mornings begin on Saturday evening. Oh, more conviction coming your way. Your experience of church. All right, stop. How's your experience of church? When you go to, how do you feel about going to church? Are you excited? Or do you just go? Or do you wait until the alarm goes off to determine if you're going to make it this Sunday or not? If you're not excited about going to church the best hour of the week, this might be why, from Tim Challies, your experience of church will be much different if you stay up late watching movies on Saturday evening that you shouldn't be watching versus if you go to bed at a reasonable time and refrain from sinful behavior. If you want to get the greatest benefit from the worship services, you need to plan ahead. That is a very good word. So if church perhaps is a little bit... maybe it's because you're just not putting any effort into it. And maybe it's because you've been putting your little eyes onto images that you shouldn't be looking at. You want the fruit of godliness? It doesn't happen by itself. It's synergistic. And unlike Joel Osteen's church, did you hear this? It's kind of making its way through the Twitterosphere. Apparently some guy, he was preaching. There was a guy talking at the Joel Osteen Megadome in Houston. God has done his part. You got to do yours. Oh, man, Scylla. That isn't how synergism works. Synergism is that the Holy Spirit empowers you. Yes, you've got to do it, but it's empowered by him. So you don't get to take any credit for it. And God's hands are not tied because of your weaknesses. It is all of God. And if you would like to be growing in godliness, work with the Holy Spirit. Don't kick against him. Do the things that help you get fed on Sunday morning. You'll be glad you did. Make it your habit to pray through the membership directory. You cannot help but come to love people as you pray for them. It's also a great way to get to know names and faces, which is a good thing, isn't it? So there's a bonus for you. You don't have to worry about somebody not wearing their name tag and having to call them, dude. Hey, dude, what'd you think of the game, dude? Because you can't remember his name. Use the directory and pray for him. It'll help you remember their name. But more importantly, you're going to be knitted together. It's going to be harder to leave a church where you've been praying for everybody there. Challies, it is very common, but rarely a good idea to change churches amid a personal crisis or immediately following one. Okay, this is interesting. In times of great difficulty, it is usually best to allow the local church to be a source of stability. It is wise to distrust yourself in your most difficult times. Stay put for now and only consider moving when life has stabilized. That's similar to the advice. Hey, if you just experienced a heartbreak, then don't engage yourself in another relationship immediately. I think they talk about that. They say that at Alcoholics Anonymous. Not that I'm endorsing that, but don't make any big life decisions being sober for 3 weeks. You got to get yourself settled a little bit. And if you're going through a difficulty, it's probably not a good time to be making a decision as big as leaving your church. Challies, one unheralded ministry in the church. Get ready for this. Oh, some of these. It's interesting that as I'm reading these from Tim, he's not. Do you hear him being convictional? No. But do you feel it? A little bit, don't you? An underestimated church ministry is arriving early. In many churches, it's often guests who arrive first and they feel awkward being alone. Those who get there early have the opportunity to serve in welcoming newcomers, engaging them in conversation. Conversely, those who continually show up late miss out on many opportunities to serve others. If you're a late arriver, just try it. Just try arriving early, as opposed to just getting there in time for the curtain to rise so you can watch the show. You'll be shocked. Another unheralded ministry is the ministry of singing. Oh, Tim. He said you need to sing loudly. Our culture doesn't really know what to do with singing, and few people have been trained to sing well and confidently. If you have a good voice and know how to use it, bless people around you by singing out your praises in as loud a voice as is appropriate. And that would be true for all of us, even if we just croak. You should be singing on a hill far away because woofta, it's a sweet sound of the Lord, and what an encouragement to everybody else. He barks like a dog. I guess I could sing along with a mighty fortress. I can sing as good as that guy can. We can encourage one another, which is why we are supposed to encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When you hear somebody singing praises to Jesus, you get fed by that. That means if you're not singing, you're not feeding anybody. Probably not yourself. Baptism, writes Challies, takes on new dimensions of meaning when you understand it is not only a personal act of obedience, because it is, but it's an ordinance that has meaning to everyone in the church. It is a communal rite, not a personal one. Have you been baptized? Tick, 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 Pick how many more seconds do you want to live in disobedience? Yep, I said it. Not being baptized, if you're born again, is living in disobedience. Now you're waiting because they do it in 3 Sundays from now. Got it. But you should be anxious to get baptized. I've been born again. In my first commandment, I want to be obedient to my master. I need to get baptized. Make it a matter of urgency. And your church, I've mentioned this before. There's a trend, just like in charismatic circles, I've been reading, there's less emphasis on speaking in tongues. In Baptistic circles, there's less emphasis on baptism. It is an ordinance. It is an act of obedience on your part. But I'm telling you, you will bless the socks off of your congregation when they see the gospel. Somebody going down, coming back up, dying to self, being born again, raised to new life. And the testimony, if you haven't been baptized, might I encourage you lovingly, get on it. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.